This series of Eat Real Unwrapped is brought to you by Macelle's Certified Organic Stocks. Australian made and owned, Macelle. It's quality you can taste.
This study was released in 2018, so it's hot off the press, and they really showed that the type and amount of carbohydrates that you're eating in your diet really can influence the length of your life in a profound way.
This episode, cutting carbs seems to have become something of a national obsession, but what does the science say? Are we doing carbs all wrong?
Eat Real Unwrapped.
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 Hi, I'm Brodie Myers, Editor-in-Chief of taste.com.au. Welcome back to Eat Real Unwrapped. Each episode, we're busting the myths and uncovering the truth about healthy eating. And as we go, we're helping you build a foundation eating plan that you can live with for life. Now, here comes carbs. And I must admit, this is an area that's always kind of confused me. What exactly is and isn't a carb? And should I cut them a little, a lot, altogether, not at all? Well, the results are in, and it seems I'm not the only one who's confused. Every now and then, a study comes along that causes a stir, not just in the science world, but well beyond. That's what happened recently with a massive Harvard University study published in The Lancet that really blew the topic of carbs wide open. To tell us about the study and how its headline-making findings impact our plate, I welcomed back Dr. Kerry Ivey. She's postdoctoral research fellow at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Kerry spoke to me from Boston in the United States. Kerry Ivey, welcome back to Eat Real Unwrapped.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Last time we spoke in the last episode, we talked about plant foods and we said every expert agrees that plant foods are the cornerstone for a truly healthy diet. But for this episode, I wanted to get you back because there's a lot of controversy, there's a lot of misinformation and just a lot of confusion, to be frank. And it's around the topic of carbohydrates.
The word that you used, confusion, sums it up really well. So I look forward to getting to the bottom of this in this episode.
So first, to set the scene, there's a few questions I've got that I want to sort out. First one is, what exactly is a carbohydrate?
Carbohydrates are found in both healthy and unhealthy foods. So they're found in things like bread, beans, milk, biscuits, and carbohydrates come in a variety of forms. The most commonly talked about types of carbohydrates you'll hear are sugar, fiber, and starch. The healthier sources of carbohydrates are those that are unprocessed or minimally processed whole grains, but it also includes vegetables and fruits and beans. And these healthier carbohydrates contain lots of vitamins and minerals and fiber. The unhealthier sources of carbohydrates are soft drinks, cakes, white bread, highly processed, refined foods. So these type of unhealthier carbohydrates are really easily digestible carbohydrates that can contribute to weight gain, interfere with weight loss, even promote diabetes and heart disease.
And is it true to say that they don't have much bang for their calorific buck as far as nutrition goes?
Definitely. So nearly all of the fiber is removed when wheat is milled, and a lot of the B vitamins and other vitamins and minerals are really removed when we process and refine grains.
So that's the thing, sorting out the good from the bad. They're not all one big bag of the enemy, which is, I feel like, is kind of where the brain space is a little bit on this at the moment in some regards.
Yeah, I think that there's a lack of differentiating between the healthier and unhealthier sources of carbohydrates. So I think really getting to the bottom and really nutting out what is a healthy carbohydrate, I think, is really useful to a lot of people.
So now I'd like to zero in on the low-carb diet because from a health point of view, a lot of people are choosing to do it this way, cutting carbs quite drastically. But I know there's a recent study by two of your senior colleagues at Harvard, and it really looks into why we need to keep carbs going in our diet.
Yes, this study was released in 2018, so it's hot off the press, and they really showed that the type and amount of carbohydrates that you're eating in your diet really can influence the length of your life in a profound way.
And it caused a real stir. I've heard it described as a page turner, actually, but it had some really critical messages about why cutting carbs, good carbs, is not a good idea.
Yeah, this was actually one of the most comprehensive studies of carbohydrate intake ever. It was conducted in over 432,000 people from more than 20 countries. And what they found was that eating an animal-based low-carbohydrate diet was associated with a shorter lifespan.
4 years, I hear.
Yes. So what they found was that too much or too little carbohydrate can be harmful. If you ate too many carbohydrates, or if your diet had too few carbohydrates, then this was associated with an increased risk of mortality, so an increased risk of dying young. But really, what the recommendations that came out of this study are is that if we imagine all of the foods that you're eating, half of those foods need to be high-quality carbohydrate foods.
And so you're saying a medium amount of carbohydrates gives you the most likely longest life?
Yes, that's what the association showed.
And it was about 50%, you said?
50%, yes. And that's really hard, I think, for people to envisage. What does that mean? What is 50% of my diet being carbohydrates actually look like? The team of Harvard scientists developed the Healthy Eating Plate, which actually kind of combined over 30 years of evidence from humans. So if we imagined everything that we ate in a day and we put it all onto one plate, we would want half of the plate to be fruits and vegetables and a quarter of the plate to be whole grain foods.
Okay, so that's what we're getting to in a moment. What would the other quarter be?
Lean protein sources.
This is where things really got interesting for me in this study, because you said low-carb, high animal-based diet was very detrimental to life or the length of your life, but there was a big but around the low-carb. If you replace that animal protein with vegetable protein, everything changed, correct?
Right. And often what happens when people start to restrict or reduce the amount of carbohydrates they're eating, what they'll often do is lower the amount of vegetables, fruits, and grains that they're eating. And this increased amount of animal-based proteins and fats contributes to biological aging, inflammation, and it really contributed to this increased risk of dying early.
It's really powerful stuff. And I know that there was a lot of controversy about it too. I saw quite a few articles from people who are advocates for animal-based low-carb diets getting quite hot under the collar about the results of this study.
What we can't do is argue with the science. So this was a meta-analysis of lots of different studies from more than 20 countries and really combined the best available evidence on carbohydrate intake and mortality to help us come up with these recommendations.
Yeah. I mean, at Eat Real, one of our big philosophies or one of our big missions is not to rule out any diets, never to rule out any foods, and make sure everyone makes their own decision. But that's why it's great. Bring the science to the table and let people then decide what they do, I think, is a fantastic thing. I just wanted to take a moment to tell you about our Eat Real Unwrapped Zone. This is a whole dedicated area of taste.com.au with all the latest episodes and extras, along with menu plans, articles, tools, advice, plus tips and ideas to make this healthy journey fun, easy and successful. Just go to taste.com.au/podcast. Kerry, I'd love your view. Can you tell us and sort out for me the whole grain story?
Yeah, so when we think about grains, we can divide it into two categories. There's whole grains, which is barley, oats, brown bread, brown rice, corn, and then there's refined grains, the type of grains that are used to make white bread, for example.
Okay. How do we spot that refined grain, and what is it exactly about a grain that makes it refined rather than whole grain?
I'll just quickly give you a brief history of whole grains and refined grains. So in the late 19th century, with the invention of industrialized roller mills, we started milling grains, which resulted in a longer shelf life. But these highly processed grains are really low in nutritional quality. For example, if you mill wheat, it loses half of its B vitamins, 90% of its vitamin E, and nearly all of the fiber. So although we can add some nutrients back when we fortify foods, other health-promoting compounds of whole grains are really lost when we mill grains. And that's why in order to get all of the health benefits of eating grains, we really need to be aiming to eat whole grain foods.
And which ones are best?
So there's no one whole grain that's better than another. And what we really recommend is just eating a variety of different whole grains in your diet every single day. And they don't need to be expensive or bespoke whole grains. They can just be simple things like buying whole grain bread, where whole grains is the first ingredient listed in the ingredient panel of your bread.
So whole grain or whole meal, which one?
As long as the first ingredient is listed as a whole grain, then that would be the bread that I would recommend.
Great hack, because sometimes I might just throw in a little bit of whole grain, but it's not really whole grain. It's white bread with a bit of whole grain.
Exactly, exactly.
Love it. Now, there's another vexed area. I really need to touch on this, and that is the area which is really growing. And I know at taste.com.au we have so many people who are gluten intolerant or gluten-free, they're celiac. What does all this mean for these people?
So, yeah, gluten is a protein found naturally in some grains like wheat, barley, rye, spelt. But like you said, it's gathered a lot of negative media attention. And people start to doubt whether wheat and gluten has a place in a healthy diet. But there's really little published research to support any claims of a negative health effect of wheat and gluten.
And in fact, this is an area you study yourself.
Right. And non-celiac individuals who avoid gluten may actually be increasing their risk of heart disease due to the potential for reducing their consumption of whole grains. So we know that whole grains are such a health-promoting part of our diet that unless we really need to avoid gluten for medical reasons, it's not advisable to be cutting gluten out of your diet.
Well, I think this really comes into focus when we rewind to the beginning of our conversation where we talked about that breakthrough page turning, as it was called, study that showed that we can actually have a longer life by making sure we keep up these foods, these whole grains. So this has been a revelation to me, this conversation. Kerry, what are the key takeouts, because there's been a lot here, on carbs and eating for those of us who want to have a peak health and a really long and happy life?
What we know is most important is that the type of carbohydrate that you choose to eat is more important than the quantity that you're eating. And some carbohydrates are healthier than others. And what we really want to be doing is choosing healthy whole grains from whole wheat bread, rye, and barley over highly refined white bread and French fries. Also, there's some more practical tips about how we can start to incorporate more whole grains into our diet. So a great way to start is at the start of the day by having porridge for breakfast or choosing whole grain breads over white breads where the first ingredient is either whole wheat, whole rye, or some other whole grain. Or even just thinking a little bit more creatively and looking beyond bread and maybe having whole grain in salad form for your lunches, such as brown rice or quinoa salads.
How's your research changed the way you eat?
I grew up on a farm in the wheat belt of Western Australia, so I grew up on a pretty traditional meat and three veg diet. But through conducting my research, I've really learned the importance of eating a variety of plant-based foods. Because of this, I've become more adventurous in trying new recipes, trying new plant-based foods that I might not have ever tried before, and just learning new ways to incorporate them into my diet.
So you're walking your talk.
Yes.
Well, you would when you see studies like this. Thank you again for joining us on Eat Real Unwrapped.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Dr. Kerry Ivey from the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, helping us unravel the truth about carbs. Well, there sure were some clangers there, but here are my top three takeouts from what Kerry said. Number one, start craving carbs, but in a good way. Kerry's not only finally sorted out my carb confusion, she's also brought on a whole new love affair with carbs, and I never thought I'd say that. It's that big, beautiful bunch of complex carbs. In my own mind, they kind of come in two main varieties. There's those complex carbs that are real plant foods, so you've got things like lentils, beans, nuts, peas, sweet potatoes, for instance. And then there's the complex carbs that are whole grains. Quinoa lives here too, actually, even though it's technically a seed. And, you know, I knew these guys were full of fiber, but what I didn't fully realise was just how full of goodness they are, with so many nutrients, vitamins and phytonutrients, just like vegetables. But that makes sense. They're plant foods too, right? And that leads me to take out number two. Go for variety. A lot of us, and I do this, get in a rut with good carbs. But to get maximum goodness, we really do need to be more adventurous. So all the non-white rices, things like bulgur, sometimes called crack wheat, which you use in tabbouleh, but you can also use it to stuff veggies and in soups. And I've also rediscovered corn as a whole grain and popcorn, one of the healthiest snacks ever. And gluten-free people, try oats, rice, quinoa, corn, buckwheat. Take out number three. You need 50% of your daily calories to be carbs. But what does that even look like? I'm always so confused when nutritionists say this sort of thing. So I did the maths with our nutritionist, Chrissy Freer, to crunch the numbers. So as a rough guide to put you in the ballpark, this is what you'd include. For breakfast, 2 cups of raw oats. For lunch, 2 slices of wholemeal bread. And for dinner, around about 2 total cups of any of the complex carbs in any combination, plus, say, half a sizable sweet potato baked. Go a bit higher if you like, if you're loving your carbs as much as I am. The main thing is to get into these healthy, complex carbs and definitely reduce those simple carbs. All those white things like white bread, white rice, they're giving you nothing. And definitely, definitely try to cut your refined carbs. Things like potato crisps and lollies, you know the ones. This gives you so many more calories to spend on the good stuff. And, you know, once you have healthy carbs in your sights, there's enough to keep your taste buds in heaven for a whole lifetime, plus possibly 4 extra years if you do it right. Let's all hug a carb today. There it is, another delicious block for our foundation eating plan in place. Done. As always, for all the notes from this episode, just head to taste.com.au/podcast. There you'll also find a whole load of extras too, including our at-a-glance guide to healthy carbs. I'm Brodie Myers and you've been listening to Eat Real Unwrapped. Thanks again to Dr. Kerry Ivey and thank you to you for joining us. Subscribe for free wherever you get your podcasts, then you won't miss an episode. And please help us spread the word on Eat Real. Next episode, we're busting a whole lot more myths to finally get the good oil on the truth about fats. See you then. This series of Eat Real Unwrapped is brought to you by Macelle's Certified Organic Stocks, Australian made and owned Macelle. It's quality you can taste.